Good morning to everyone. Rodney isn't here this morning, and it took me forever to think of a scripture that I'd like for him to read in connection with my lesson. So I finally settled on the 14th chapter of John, the first six verses. Where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'd like to talk a little bit about our heart this morning. It's a very important part of our body. In fact, I guess I would classify it as being the most important part of our body. But the thing of it is, it's singular and there's only one. You know, most parts of our body, or a lot of our parts, are duplicated. We've got two hands, we've got two eyes, we've got two lungs, we've got two kidneys, we've got two ears, and you know what to say about our ears. We've got two ears and one mouth. Evidently, we're supposed to be listening twice as much as we're talking. We've got two feet. But if we don't have a heart, we don't have anything. The scripture here says that we should find comfort in God. This is where our trust should be. Also, the sixth verse there tells me that there's only one way to Christ, and that's through the church that he established. Through the church, we have contact with Christ. And through Christ, we have contact with God. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind, because there are many people that don't understand it that way. But there are a lot of people in the world that say that they believe in God, but that's all they believe in. They have no background or anything. They have no refuge, and to me, that's what the church is. It's a refuge for us. It's a time that we can gather together, a time that we can have fellowship. It's time that we can gather together and strengthen one another. Getting back to our heart, I'm not a medical doctor, but there are some things I think that we need to think about. Having myself experiencing heart problems, and I know we have several others here that do have or have had heart problems. I think God has a way of warning us when we do have a heart problem. And we need to heed the warnings. The reason why I say that is, I don't know whether you read in the paper about 2 weeks ago about the young man that was racing at Boone, Iowa. He was 37 years old. He had had some chest pains, and he was having chest pain the night that he got in the car. But he felt good enough to race. During the race, he had a heart attack. they never lived to get him to the hospital. Nothing really happened as far as the car was concerned. I understand that it began to slow down and people noticed that there was something wrong with him. But by the time that they got to him, he was gone. So to me, there's a case of somebody that had a warning. I can tell you what the warnings are. Very well, I can tell you what the warnings are. Anytime you feel like your arms are going to fall off, there's something wrong. Anytime you get a pain up in your jaw, there's something wrong. Anytime you get chest pain and it lingers for quite a while, those are the warnings I think God has prepared for us that we should heed. And when that happens, we should try to do something about it and find out what our problem is. Now let's get on with our lesson. Our heart beats approximately 100,000 times in 24 hours. And they say all it is a muscle mass that rests in our chest. And you know, many times we don't even think about it being there. But yet it is there. And it continually goes through this beating. The blood circulates through our heart every 4 minutes. It is thought that our heart controls us in many ways, and I actually think that it does. Our heart controls in the decisions that we make, the actions that we might take. And there are many times that we talk about our heart, or people talk about our heart, or talking about us and our heart. When they say maybe you've got a heart of gold, you've got a generous heart, oh, he has a cruel heart. So many times people are talking about us, and they can see perhaps how our heart actually is. The heart is spoken about throughout the Bible. There's numerous scriptures that we can find in the Bible concerning our heart. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 23:6-7. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. We need to be careful concerning those that perhaps we associate within our life as to what an influence they might have upon us. Many people that we associate with, we need to be careful that they don't influence us in the wrong way. As we go about our everyday walk of life, it seems as though, or we think it is easy for us to cover things up. But nothing is ever covered up from God. And the scripture that I think about a lot is in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th and the 13th verses, where it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When we sin in one of three ways. Either our heart isn't right and we think something wrong, our heart isn't right, or we say something that is wrong, or our heart isn't right and we do something that is wrong. And God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And then the part of nothing is covered up. There's no way for us to conceal anything from God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing that God don't know about us. We may think that we can cover things up, but we can't. Many times we see those that become very brave when they're away from home. Or we see maybe the young people that become very brave when they get out and away from things, from the influence perhaps of their parents and so forth. But if you're ever faced with the thought and you're not comfortable with what you're about to do or what somebody wants you to do, my suggestion is to look up. Your Heavenly Father is watching over you. He is looking down upon you, on each and every one of us. And we need to be concerned about that. That we don't think that perhaps we're getting by with something because we're not. Because he is continually watching over that, watching over us. And that really, that's a good thing. That's the way I want it. I don't want him to be watching over me part of the time. I want him to be watching over me all of the time. As we go through life, people look at the outside. God sees the heart and what it reveals. And this basically, I believe, is what it says in Proverbs 23. I'm sorry, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from me the froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from me. Let thine eyes look right, and thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It is a big job to always be of the right frame of mind. Helen Keller said, "The best and most wonderful things in the world cannot be seen or touched, but are felt in the heart." As we are privileged of going through life, we need to look deep into our heart. And we need to ask, are we right with God? Are we right with God? Amos 4:12-13. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth a mountain and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh his morning darkness and treadeth upon the high place of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. We need to keep that in mind at all times. Everything that we are, everything that we've got, everything that we'll ever have, God created. And we need to, in this life, prepare to meet him. So we have to prepare to meet God, to prepare our hearts so that we are right. And actually, our life is to prepare for a greater life. Our life here is short when we measure as far as what eternity is like. Our life here is very short. But we need to be careful. In Proverbs 6, these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Sometimes we see those that have evil imaginations. Sometimes we see, and to me, the world is becoming worse and worse all the time. If we go back to the time of Noah and the time that God destroyed man from the face of the earth, we found out the reason why he did it was because the thoughts and the intents of man's mind was evil continually. And sometimes I wonder how long he's going to continue to let things go on the way that they are. And this is the reason why we need to be preparing for the life to come. Everything that we do in life, we make a statement. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whether it be good or whether it be bad, everything that we do and everything that we say makes a statement. Because of this, I think we need to examine ourselves daily. Let's look at Matthew 15. Seven and eight. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I would hope that we're not in this condition, that the heart is not far from God. We need to show what the fruit of the Spirit is. And I believe that as we go through our everyday walk of life, we have to show what the fruit of the Spirit is. And we turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22 through 26. Galatians 6. I'm sorry, it's Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But if you read ahead of these verses here, you find out the things that can get us into trouble. But the 22nd verse says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such law. Against there is no law. There is no law against these things. But the things that are mentioned above are definitely against the law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Fruits of the Spirit. This should be just a part of our life. Everything that we do as we go about our everyday walk of life. And you know, if we've got this, this is something that we can't hide as well. People can see this, but our heart can be a treasure of evil. Let's look at Mark 7:20-23. Mark 7:20-23. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, proud, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. This is what people can see in us. And this is not what we want them to see in us. And it shouldn't be a part of our life as well. Also, our heart can be darkened. Romans 2 and 20 and 22. Romans 1. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorrupt God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So our heart can be darkened, but this is something that we certainly don't want to happen. Our hearts sometimes become blind. Would you like to have it lighted? You know, God will light it if you will let Him. We can find it all in this little book right here, how He can light our heart. We also read of those who harden their hearts. And to me, the best example that I find is in Exodus, the 7th chapter, when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and they were pleading with the ruler, King Pharaoh, to let them go and worship their God, and he refused to do it. And 10 times his people suffered very bad, because Pharaoh, every time they asked for him to let them go, he hardened his heart and wouldn't let them go. To me, that was always a good story I like to teach to the young people when from a class here in the front. The story of Joseph and him being going to Egypt and so forth. It's always a very interesting story. We can get a new heart, and God is the only one who can give us a new heart. Do you have a new heart? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe enough and willing to be baptized as Christ was? Christ set the example for baptism. He lived a life that was perfect, and yet as he went through life, he saw a need for him to be baptized, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. If so, you can begin life anew. Have a new beginning with a new heart. Without a new heart, you are lost. Or perhaps maybe you gave your heart to Christ and then took it back. If this is the case, He is still waiting for you. You know, Christ will never leave us. He will always be there for us. And if there's any separation, we are the one that separates ourselves from Him. He is always patiently waiting for us. We'd offer an invitation as we stand and sing our closing song.